One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tommy and what's it, Hector podcast with Larita Blewett.
Wow.
And you're all just settling yourselves in there now. You pull the door.
So
we have our,
nice and warm.
Our weekly dilemma of the name.
No, we've our weekly test over, first of all.
Test over. Oh, yeah, we've got the Covasol jam.
Yeah, Covasol.
We're all clear.
We're all clear, so that's one thing out of the way. I got some good name suggestions this week.
Now, only we
unlike you now, Tommy, I won't say that I came up with this all by my own self.
And Larita did a bit of baking, didn't you, Larita?
Yes.
She's a topper.
I am
topper.
Getting better and better with my baking.
You sure are.
Day.
They started off as scones, and then you started to realise you had to improvise.
They look a half between a sort of a scone and a mince pie. Yeah. A hybrid.
I had an issue with them last night. I put them into the oven and scones don't normally take long, but I forgot to take them out.
Of course.
So they got a little bit burned.
Do you know what they
now
look like?
Now they're cinnamon and raisin.
They look like the... It looks like a religious artifact. It looks like the first Holy Communion.
Found in Siberia. Look, there's good...
They're not rock buns. I put some icing sugar and some gold glitter
just to
make sure it didn't look too
there have
offensive.
Been, there have
scones you can suck. That's a
Tommy.
There have been many hundreds and hundreds of nominations for the name of the show, and I really
you have to whittle it down to the funny ones.
I have a load of them.
So what about this one? Galway Tassery.
Last, can I just say?
Well, that's from John.
Last week's one was the most popular one
McAfee.
Of all.
John McAfee.
Okay, so do you have two?
Red Bull Leak Slip.
No, no good.
Do you know what? I'm getting too many of them and I'm just, you have them.
Borussia Gortmund.
No.
Tommy, come with me on this journey.
Borussia Gortmund. That's all right. We did Gorting Lisbon recently.
Barcelona.
What about
Barcelona?
That? There was one this morning about Navin.
No, I have two good, amazing ones
I have one more for you.
Okay.
Sporting Lisbon.
We had that before.
No, Sporting Lisbon.
Maybe. I've two better ones for you. Ready? Ready?
Okay, yeah, ready.
Okay, we're ready, Tommy.
Kinnegad and Tobago. Or Ballinapoli.
Ballinapoli.
I think the Kinnegad and Tobago is magnificent.
It is.
And we'll do the other one.
Okay, so this week's episode is called Kinnegad and Tobago. Now, I've been holding, sometimes post arrives to the house.
Right.
And this Tommy Tiernan, Hector and Larita, the Henhouse Barn of County Galway.
Oh.
Yeah. So will I open it?
Yes,
and see
go
what's,
for it.
You open that while I open the scones.
No, saving the scones till we go up and have a cup of tea. We've no butter for them. We can't eat them raw.
Wait, I put them back over here.
You, you need a little bit of... I put cinnamon in them, but it doesn't...
Subsidence and
cadence. I did a trial run on it last night when I came out of the oven just to see if they were badly burnt. They're not badly burnt, but they don't also taste it. I took the nails varnish off, lads, because I thought the red was a bit too provocative.
Bit too ridey.
Yeah.
I'll be going for a darker colour from future.
Oh, mother of Jesus.
Oh, no.
That's okay. A fucking letter.
Maybe we should hold off it when we're having the scones.
I'll read that at the interval and then I'll come back to you in the second half.
There's an awful lot in that. Yeah. Who's it from? It's not from a lawyer, is it?
It's handwriting.
It's not a legal letter, is it?
What's the name of the person?
John, and his first name is John, I think. He can't spell his own surname. And then it says, an exiled Clare man living in Kildare. So anyway,
that's fine.
Have a look at that. So how have you been?
I've been great. I've been energised by the arrival of Joe Biden to the White House.
Do you know, a lot of people said that they had this overwhelming feeling of relief this weekend, and they couldn't exactly pinpoint what it was.
Well,
and then they realised that
Where are you, Joe Biden?
Okay,
President Biden.
Let's start, because this is the first podcast where we will get to discuss your cousin becoming the president and now living in the White House.
Yeah.
The morning of the inauguration, I turned on national television in England, national TV, and there was the bold Loretta. So,
you're on This Morning with Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby.
Yeah.
And the product placement of the Tommy and Hector,
Wasn't it brilliant?
Gimp on the three of us behind.
How was that, Josh?
I'll tell you what happened. I've obviously, before the election, I was flat out watching CNN and watching all the American channels. And anytime they have a contributor on, he's got all his own books or her own books or her everything in the background. So I thought, well, I'm going to get in on the act. So I got up here early the other morning, took down the poster that I had in the sitting room, put it in the kitchen behind where I was doing the interview. I moved around the house three different locations to see where was a good spot for the poster and me and the angle and the whole lot. And I said, so I had asked, you know, could they promote the podcast? And they had said, oh, listen, one or the other, whatever. Anyway, so they were like, no, you can't do that, whatever. So I said, fine, well, I'm going to find a way to do it. So I thought, how will I do this smoothly?
That's the attitude that got Joe Biden elected.
Exactly, you see.
Never say die.
Never die.
Open the she bean, we fucking keep the she bean open and we'll fucking open Bill Mullet and fuck them.
Joe woke up there about 3 years ago and he said, I am 900 years old, but I am not going to let that stop me. President of America.
Yeah, so I took that same approach and I said, I'm not going to be stopped mentioning the podcast. So I went hell for leather.
You've got a brilliant mention about, of it.
I says, you know, it's all right for people that have, you know, confidence, like, you know, the both of you are TV presenters and I'm a podcast. I do a podcast, the Tommy and Hector. It was absolutely hilarious. I'd say they were thinking, Jesus.
Scolesy was laughing a little bit, wasn't he?
Scolesy.
I call him Scolesy, yeah.
He got a bit of a chuckle out of it. So that was great. So I got the mention of the podcast.
I just thought it was priceless.
And most of the people that listened to the podcast and that saw the interview got the, obviously.
Just a little crow to pluck with you regarding your interview when you're speaking on national UK television. My mother.
So hang on.
My mother was.
Whoa. You have a crow to pluck with her. I've never heard that phrase before. Are you mixing up two different? I have a bone to pick with you.
What's the crow one?
But I have a crow to pluck with you.
Take it out, we'll pluck it.
I've
been getting away with that for 50 years.
Nobody's pulled you up on it.
I'm a crow.
Get that crow for dinner, will you? Bring in that crow, you bollocks. What do we have, Dad? We're having fucking crow. Look at your cunt. And put it up.
I've been scuppered
50 years of getting a crow to pluck with you.
The boys have gone to bed and he calls into one of them, I have a crow to pluck with you. Shit yourself.
In under the quilt with a torch.
not the crow, Dad. Not the crow.
Not again.
Your father's a crow to pluck with you.
How many times have you used that line?
I've been living it since I was a kid.
What?
I can't continue the conversation now.
No.
My mother used to do this when she got on the telephone in the hallway when we had the lock on the telly. And she would go, the telephone would ring on the hall stand. And she'd have a lock. She'd unlock it. Going, hello, 29803. Hello. You start putting on, there's a little bit of posh comes out on your accent.
There is. I was thinking I was representing the White House as well as the podcast, so I was trying to be a little bit more. And also, I was talking to people in England, like, they don't understand our accents.
I'm only joking. I thought it was a brilliant
interview.
You couldn't give them the just.
White House.
You didn't do them much just and jished and jashed and jushed.
I wasn't comfortable enough to. I didn't know them.
Well
people,
done.
Like.
Well done on the interview on This Morning.
I was talking to a man who lives near the forest in Exmoor. I think it's Exmoor.
Where's Exmoor?
I think it's in the west country of England. And he's a storyteller. Wonderful, phenomenal storyteller by the name of Martin Shaw. And he has said to me that he listens to the podcast and that he's starting to share the podcast with farmers around the West Country. And one of the things he said for me to say to you is, he said, Hector, you make the ordinary luminous.
Oh, that's lovely.
And he said that your storytelling is so amazing, and what you do, you're able to imbue ordinary things with a sense of just fucking luminosity.
Oh, that's lovely. Wow. So I thought that'd be that's really
some
nice.
Lovely words, some lovely words. Because we are all ensconced in our houses, in our bubbles and our greenhouses and our families, the television has never been so important. Saturday night, when Brenda Fricker walked out, was it like when you've been sent up to the headmaster as a ball boy, or did you have a little, uh-oh, here we go?
But I have the uh-oh with all of them. I have uh-oh, because you know...
you just don't know where it's going to go.
Because it's kind of like, because you have no preparation on, you have no idea, you just... You had in the back of your mind, though, you never consciously declared, they have decided to come onto the show, so they must be...
intrigued.
Or they must be up for a chat. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not prominent, as soon as you see them, you go, oh, fuck, okay. There's very few people you walk out and you go, ah, I'll have a great chat. Because you don't even do that with a friend. Mm. And one of the only things I asked the researchers was, no comedians and no friends.
Yeah, good.
And the reason for the no comedians thing was because I did a chat show years ago hosted by a comedian, and sometimes it can become, he was trying to be really funny and use me as the straight man.
Yeah.
The other kind of a way. And I was going, oh, fuck, I see what you're doing here, dude. So I said, I didn't want that to be happening when I was doing. And no friends, because I thought that friends would talk together in an intimate way that mightn't make for good television. Mm-hmm. You know, so there needs to be. Mm-hmm. So they're the only things I kind of said. So then when Brenda walked out, I mean, it was incredible because of the... It's very rare that you get an interview that has phases like that. Mm. Usually an interview, it might go into two or three different topics and two or three different moments, but it never has stuff, to my eye anyway, that's as she came in and she was like, I'm not going to pretend that everything is okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
And was defiant in that. And there was the two of you know now, actually, three of us would know from going on television shows that it's a little bit of a performance. You're kind of going, I have something to sell here, or I have something to say. So, you know, I have to put on a bit of an act, you know. You have to be slightly larger than yourself. Brenda came out and she was not going to be fucking doing that.
Mm.
And she just fucking sat there. And this is how it is for me. And it can be fairly fucking shit.
Mm.
And I'm not going to pretend that it isn't. And I was struck by the authenticity, the sincerity and the fearlessness of appearing on a chat show on Saturday night in RTE and just going, things are not good.
Mm.
Right? And I was going, fuck this, wow. This is incredible. So even though it made the exchange kind of, it wasn't an ordinary conversation.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, wow.
It was the pace of it as well, right? In the first 7-6 minutes.
Oh, just fucking rock steady. And then what happens? Then she starts telling stories and her whole demeanour changes. Mm. Her fucking eyes light up. She becomes expressive. And her comic timing was one of the best. Like, just this phenomenal ability just to...
Yeah.
So it was like, it wasn't like two different people, but it was like seeing a bird on a branch with the wings tucked into the side and not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden seeing them fucking hop off the branch, spread them and fly around the room. It was, it was fantastic.
And her story was like, I could have sat there for 2 hours and watched her, you know, because the other thing that I got from her was she was, as you said, like she just opened herself, you know, it was just what it was. But she's so composed, you know, she had no reason to...
But she just...
put in any...
She had a sweet in her mouth. And sometimes you think it's bad manners. You know, somebody has a chewing gum.
She just explained
a professional football. She explained having the sweet in her mouth so well that I get dry.
Oh my God, I loved
dry
her.
Mouth
I loved
from
her.
The medication. All the statements in the first 6 minutes led into this. But as we say in this country, she warmed. You warmed to her.
Oh,
she warmed to you. And people warmed to the conversation. What a beautiful conversation it was.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Just on that. So let's go down. I thought that the traveller girl, the senator.
Eileen
was such amazing.
Such a
dolt,
precious, a little bit shy in the beginning, but a really good chat about travellers.
Yeah. Again, all those chats are long. Do we have to cut them down?
Yeah, do you ever worry about how they'll be edited down? No, do you ever worry that... you'll miss, because obviously those conversations are so interesting. Are you afraid that some parts of it would be, you know, it must be very hard to edit that?
No, because so I have no say in the guests, and I entirely trust the researchers.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have no, and I have very little say in the edit. So I entirely trust the editor. Mm. So it's about saying, I'll do my job and ye do yours.
Yeah, well, that's
the rather way. than me getting involved in every...
You can't do that, Tommy, because you'll and wreck your head.
Do you sit down and watch it?
But you'll wreck your head.
I don't watch it, no.
Why? Do you not want to watch
watching,
it?
I was watching Caliphat.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
I watched... What happens is we record the show on a Sunday. Right, yeah. And then they spend the week editing it, and it goes out on Saturday. So what happens is I go up to Dublin in order, for too long I've been driving myself too fucking hard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just driving the fucking engine out of myself.
Why did you have a driver?
So what I did was, I don't want to be owning the car and be talking. I get more tired from not talking to someone in the car.
I drove the car to Dublin for you one day, do you remember? Were you in the back of it?
That's it.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
You have no spatial awareness. That's your... You have no
what
space.
What does that mean?
That means that, remember, do you remember you are not able to give the car in front of you a bit of space.
Do you remember the day?
Says Ayrton Senna here.
Do you remember the day that we stopped in Ballinasloe and the woman tried to get Hector to pull him out the window?
So just for the listener's sake, what happened was we were driving back. Myself, Hector,
we decided to come off the motorway.
We were driving back from Dublin and we decided to drive through the town of Ballinasloe for the crack. I do be driving that motorway a lot, and what I love to do is drive through the towns. It's because I love pulling off the Galway side of Ballinasloe, driving through Ballinasloe, and then heading out on the old road as far as Athlone. And then if I've the goo on me, I'll keep going on the old road to Moat and Tyrrell's Pass and Rochford Bridge, and it's fantastic. So we were coming back from Dublin anyway, and we said to Larita, we have to go the old road.
What do you mean you have to go the old road?
It'll be fine. Pull off. Pull off.
Jesus, lads. Jesus, lads. So what's the point of building the fucking motorway if we're going to fucking hold on?
So we said, don't you worry, we'll go in now. So as you know, I've queer taste in music. So I managed to get this CD of seagulls screaming.
Oh, God, it was awful.
Seagulls screaming around the cliffs of Dover.
And it's 20 minutes of it.
It genuinely is just for...
One track.
20 minutes, and what it does, it puts the mind in a different fucking place altogether.
As you go in by Dubarry, it does.
It's much better than listening to the news. Or
in by the mental hospital.
See, the news...
I've a crow to plow down. That's a crow. That'll be the crow later.
Whatever you listen to puts your mind in different... Like, I would find listening to improvised music puts my mind in an improvising state of mind. So just listen to seagulls puts you in a different place than listening to the news or whatever the fuck, you know. So I said, I'll play this now. So the wildest fucking... So we're driving through Ballinasloe and there's a couple of people hanging outside a pub. So we slow down anyway. And I says to Hector, put down the window. So Hector puts down the window and I turn...
And slowed right down.
And I put up the volume of the fucking the seagulls screaming. Well, this woman stopped the car. She'd been drinking cider all day. And she leaned in...
Irish
to the BMW 7 Series and had a 10-minute chat with fucking Hector trying to persuade him to go for a drink. But the strange thing was, no mention at all of the fucking seagulls.
And them roaring in the background.
Priceless. Why were we talking about that in the first place?
Because
Tommy was on about driving.
Oh yeah, driving. But before driving, Tommy, you're...
Let's
go back to
yourself.
The show.
Yes.
No, but you were...
So I
drive yourself.
I drive up, and so in order to be to have as much energy as I possibly can for the recording of the show on Sunday night, I drive up to Dublin Saturday afternoon, get into the hotel around 6 in the evening, have a bit of food, and then just fucking do nothing for... until about 1 o'clock the following day. Just a complete rest so that you're kind of as much energy as you can possibly muster for the chat show. So the chat show is on, the recorded one then is on Saturday night, but I don't watch it. I brought up the computer with me last week and I watched Caliphat.
What? I've seen it.
Caliphat is set in Sweden Syria, Raqqa.
Oh, where
ISIS have set up like a Gaeltacht.
And in Sweden.
Yeah. No, the Gaeltacht is in Raqqa.
Oh, yeah.
Raqqa is like the Karna of Syria, and it's just all these boys going around with beards, speaking Irish, with machine guns, and women with dishcloths over their faces so you can't see them. They're bumping into buildings and falling over fucking potholes and stuff like that. And there's boys riding around the back of a Jeep with fucking easy submachine guns, and they, "Woman, where are you going?"
Get off the street.
Yeah, the women can't be on their own out in the Gaeltacht. Get back in your house, woman. What are you doing, woman?
I've seen the whole series. So
I watched the whole
It's unbelievable.
It's
about these kids getting radicalised. Like these young ones, fine looking young ones in Sweden, and they're getting radicalised, and they want to live for Allah. They want to go to fucking Raqqa and learn Irish.
So they take them from Sweden and bring them over.
They go to get the girl doctor.
Yeah, they.
Did they learn how to make guns and stuff?
No, they just be obedient women. Obedient women, because that's what the sheets.
Well, it's
over
just
their
about
faces.
The women.
It's about the men as well. Right. But I won't give away the whole plot of it now.
I'll have to start watching.
I watched
it.
It's gripping. 8 45-minute episodes. Right. It's about 6 hours of solid fucking caliphate.
And that's what I was watching. Is it subtitled?
It's subtitled. It's Swedish.
No, but we have to be fluent in fucking Swedish.
And Syrian.
It is fucking gripping.
Oh, great. I love
these
it.
These three
Caliphate.
Young 16-year-old Swedish girls and the way they get
they blind,
radicalized
then?
By your man.
No, because they might have been, say, Turkish or... Their parents might have come from that part of the world anyway to get away.
And
this lad infiltrates them in the high school and he starts
brilliant. He starts
giving them text messages, and he's a good looking Muslim guy. And next minute they're on a plane to Raqqa.
Fucking
Allah.
Honestly, I could end it up there.
Oh, it's all that shit.
If I shifted someone, I could have ended up there.
You go to this house in Raqqa and there's nothing. It's fucking darkness. The boys come in.
My love, Sweden, Tassarianese.
So that's what I was watching instead of the chat show.
Caliphate.
I thought you might be interested to see how it's.
And last thing, I think, because so many people are enjoying the show, Mary Coughlin, when she told me she robbed a boat and went up the Corrib with a lad just to get away from everything, I just found her. Such a beautiful Irish earthy woman, and when she sings, Tommy,
she did this. I don't know if they had this in the edit. She did this shamanistic ritual to get rid of her fear, and part of that ritual involved staying outside her house all night. So from dusk until dawn, barefoot, I think, she sat by herself outside of her house, and just. Isn't that a wonderful kind of ritual to go through? So to rid yourself of the fear of a place.
And turned off the phone watch.
Well, I'd be petrified. Wouldn't be able to
do you know what I mean?
Incredible.
So she did that. But as somebody said, she sang with no backswing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was fucking effortless for her.
Yeah, yeah.
And when she talked about being 16 and her heart being broken, and she was there in the jukebox at the Spinnaker, shoving the fucking coins in, and then... Your man said, you should sing them songs. And she just says, 16 years of age. And the balls of a fucking Galway tribal shaman woman at 16. After stopping up the river with her lover.
I would rather go blind.
She was fucking unbelievable, wasn't
she? I thought
she?
It was,
unbelievable.
Yeah. I was entranced by her eyes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay, so let's have a chat about the IRA.
What?
Yeah.
You look like you could be a member.
Why, with the beard and the hat and the shades?
Yeah.
At a funeral.
All you're missing is a pair of jeans and an army top.
My only experience really of the IRA was back in the 1980s, Loretta. Navin was full of poker machines.
Right. Like Las Vegas.
Hand up, higher up.
Now,
you know that sound, Loretta?
So
when you're gambling.
Yeah, if you get a hand, say you get a pair of aces, a pair of kings, three of a kind, full house, flush.
It'll ask you.
Then you go higher or lower.
It's a gamble. Right. It brings you into the gamble on two cards.
So you get a card. Right. The computer shows you a card. And then you have to decide if the next card is going to be higher or lower. There's a high, low button.
All right.
And you have to press. But just to make sure that you're feeling the pressure of the situation, the machine makes a noise. And the noise is...
And it gets quicker as you wait. And you're in a chipper waiting on the bag of chips.
But the pub's in that, and somebody's got addicted to it. Some of our school friends got fucking, they got, we were saying, here, Floody's addicted to the poker machines. Fuck off, yeah. He spent £4 in them last week.
No.
£4 on poker machines. He's a mad bastard. He's totally fucking addicted. Like, the drama of being fucking 15 and spending £4 in a poker machine. He's
oh my
fucked.
God.
He's going to have to go to gamble or something. He's gone. So every pub in the town had them.
Yeah, really? On the counter.
And
the counters.
They were
and the chippers.
Down by the jacks.
They were a scourge. Because you could fix the win rate. So there was a kind of some sort of internal yoke on them where you could say the win rate is 36%.
Right.
So for every €100 the machine takes in, it gives out 36 or 66 or whatever the fuck. So pubs just obviously fucking
fiddle.
Yeah. I mean, they were everywhere.
But I remember hearing, and I don't know if it was Floody that fucking told me this or one of the Sharkies. But anyway, the reason the pubs in Navan couldn't get rid of the poker machines was because the fucking IRA owned them. The IRA brought all the...
They put them in there.
Their IRA, that money was going to fund the war. Floody's £4 was...
It wasn't spent in vain.
Tommy,
I'm only saying what
I just have to get a text there now. I be fucking careful here with what you...
Tell Tiernan to shut the
fuck up. I'm after getting a text from Gibbstown.
Fuck's sake, Gibbstown.
Where's that?
A hotbed of activity. Mead was a hotbed.
Oh, see, we were too far down in Mayo. We were too far.
There'd be boys around Gibbstown out lamping rabbits.
And that's not Tommy Day.
Except they wouldn't be lamping and there wouldn't be rabbits. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
I am. I'm following you.
Those machines.
Do you remember them? My only other experience of the IRA, really. I mean, I'm sure we all encountered the IRA without knowing we encountered them. But my only other experience of them was, I've done a lot of work up north with Derry Girls. We're working with a lot of people who are born and reared in the north, and one of the women was born and reared in the Falls Road. And I would never be judgmental. And
yes, because we never understood
and
it.
I would never judge anybody who came from East Belfast, although I think there's a different fucking dynamic going on there. But anyways, in terms of the Falls Road and in terms of Derry, I'd never fucking judge anybody, and people did what they thought was right, and if I was in the exact same situation, I would probably have done the exact same thing because I would have been in the exact same situation. So, but I'm just talking about my encounters with the IRA over the years. A few times we did shows in and around Cavan, the Cavan border. Now, Cavan borders Fermanagh, so there's a kind of a softness to Cavan. But where does fucking Monaghan border? Armagh. Fuck me. Do you ever drive through South Armagh?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Huh? Round Gullion. Do you ever drive around Gullion? Gullion. I tell you, there's some big houses around Gullion. Oh, fuck me. There's yeah.
Six different gates.
Six different gates, 97 fucking Land Rovers. Each one of them got
big sheds out the back.
Big
fucking sheds.
Yeah.
Full of fucking shit. Yeah. JCBs from London.
And great big doors on them.
Plenty of fucking canisters.
Yeah, they have helicopter pads and stuff for fucking taking helicopters out of the fucking sky.
Let's just say there's a distribution network at the back of the house.
But I spent years gigging. All, you know, we do a gig in Monaghan, do a gig in Armagh, do a gig in Cavan, do a gig in Fermanagh, do a gig in Louth, do a gig in Down. And I'd say it happened about three times. So this was way back, this is the mid to late 90s. This is before credit cards, you'd use credit cards to buy tickets. And you'd collect cash.
Right.
At the end of the, you know, do you remember that great story about Albert Reynolds? Remember there was a story about Albert Reynolds. I don't know if it's true or not, but there was a story about Albert Reynolds. Remember
he ran all the ballrooms.
Yeah, when Albert was doing that he crashed the car one night, and anyway the boot flew open and it was a fucking a bin liner full of cash. So there was great cash industry in the entertainment. Now I don't know if that story is true or not. I'm only heard it.
No cash in that.
No cash.
Similar to Tommy's boot when it opened.
So back in those days then, when I was gigging, there would be cash, and you could be taking anything from, it wouldn't be, the type of money we were taking out of the venue now, it wouldn't be great money, it wouldn't be winning streak money.
Right.
It'd be GAA lotto money.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You'd be taking the four, the five, the six.
Four, the five, or the six.
And that's not bad when she's there in front of you in cash.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, cash. And but you,
hard,
you know,
cold cash.
Yeah. So you'd be say,
and you'd be getting the bit of the sterling too,
and
would you?
And
the border.
That'd be three times a weekend.
Right. Yeah. So say you're collecting $7,000 in cash from a community hall or a hotel, right? So out of that $7,000, cash fucking money. Yeah. There's the cash.
Cash is game.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Cash. You do the gig, and then the tour manager will go into the small little room behind reception, and he'll be there for 25 minutes counting cash.
Spondulix.
So you say you're collecting $7,000, right? Now out of that $7,000, the venue gets paid a bit, the promoter gets paid a bit, the publicity gets, all the crew get paid, and half it goes in tax.
And half it in drink. And half it in drink.
Right, so a few times it's happened in hotels around the border. Gig would be done, and the tour manager would come back to me after spending time in the little room behind reception. Nope. No. I said, what do you mean no? He says, no money tonight. I says, what do you mean no money tonight? He says, no money tonight. And you just got the message that someone else had taken the money and you weren't to fucking question it.
The local brigade.
Bounty hunter.
The local brigade needed funding.
Let's just call it the fucking...
And nobody asked any questions.
Let's just call it freedom tax.
As they say, there's a great word in Irish. There's a great word. Our son, Nakusha. All for the cause. Our son, Nakusha. Yeah.
Good. So you contributed to the cause.
I hope one day to have a creche named after myself in South
Africa. Kindly sponsored and donated by the Tommy Tiernan Tour 2011. Our son, Nakusha.
So if anybody else has any IRA stories that they'd like to tell us about, please contact us at the Tommy and Hector Show with Rita Blue. We'd love to hear them.
I did tell you
or
that.
Even poker machine stories.
But back to the poker machines, right? Leave it at that.
The bad bastard poker machines. Was sometimes you'd get a three. You get a three, right? And you'd go, well, I mean...
You can't get any lower. Chances are.
I don't know if they... I don't know what way you do numbers in Mayo, but in the rest of the country, there would be a number before three. Like, do you start off? Wait, count to ten.
No,
three, four, five, six, seven, no, eight, nine, ten.
I was going to say that.
Mrs. Boggins, what's her name?
The odds. The odds of them.
What's the teacher called? Mrs. Boggins and Bilbo Boggins.
Yeah. The odds of it being lower than three were...
That's what you'd fucking think. That's what the poker... Yeah.
That's why you put your hand in it. It's higher or lower. Bruce
higher
Borsuch.
Than a three. And you press fucking higher.
Higher.
And then there'd be... The cunt of the machine would wait. It would wait a middle of... It wouldn't... Like, sometimes... If you had a five and you went higher, it would immediately be... It'd be an eight or a three. It would immediately tell you. But when you had a three and you went higher and you went higher, there'd be this fucking pause of half a second, and then a two would come up and the machine would be there.
Yeah, but Tommy, what was the feeling like when it was a three and you went higher, king? Oh yeah, we're on a roll now, and you'd hit it straight away.
And then you get the credits, would you? And you'd start
having the chip right now.
And then you go to the bar and said you have 400 credits and that'd be 40 quid. I seen Floody walking out there with 19 quid one day.
You're
not tempted to get involved.
I played a little bit, but I did one time. I got a 50 pence piece and I drilled a little hole in it and I got a bit of fishing line and I dropped the 50. I stood with me pelvis against the slot.
Right.
That's another story.
That's for another day.
I tied the fishing line to his fly.
I had the fishing and I would drop the... So you'd put 50 pence in until the five credits come up on the machine and then you fucking pull it out. Drop it in, pull it out, drop it in, pull it out, drop it in, pull it out, drop it in, pull it out.
You could do that in Mickey Marmion's. I heard a Shamey Cregan pulled £18 one Saturday night in Mickey Marmion's.
I did that for a whole Saturday one time.
With a 50p.
Yeah. Awful fucking cramp in my wrist. I won $10,000 doing that. And there was only nine.
Jeez.
I spent it on fucking fizzy cola bottles.
I hope the IRA didn't go after you.
I went in. What was that shop in the corner down by the school?
Oh, Kluskers.
Kluskers. I went to Kluskers.
A ton of cola cubes.
And 10 grand cash. And I fucking. Fucking cola cubes.
For all the boys in the school.
Yeah, and pineapple drops and fizzy cola bottles. And.
Gobstoppers.
Gobstoppers and bullseyes. Just fucking.
And refreshers and fruit salads. For everybody in St. Pat's.
Yeah, and bonbons. Give me the toffee bonbons and the pineapple.
Do you remember you had the bonbons with the green ones and the pink ones? Oh, stop.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Can we go back to the day we were born?
No.
And what do you know about the moment you come into this world? And people think, a lot of people have never really thought about it, but I don't know why it came up. It came up because I was working, it came into my mind the last couple of years, because for 2 years solid I was working in Drogheda for the FLA, doing FLA TV, which is a huge thing for the town, and there's a couple of 100,000 people in, and the town turns into a traditional, into Mecca. Like the lads head
Mecca.
Mecca and Mecca. Like hundreds of thousands of people descend on the FLA, whether it's in Ennis or wherever. Supposed to be Mullingar last year and this year, but it's not happening. But Drogheda had it. And every couple of minutes when I was on the street for a week in the summer last year and a week the year before, there were lads. They're so Navan like in Drogheda. Well, brother. Heta. Well, brother. Welcome to Drogheda. So many people come up to me and said, I heard you were born in the town, Hector. I said I was.
Most Navan people were born in Drogheda.
Yes.
Why? Drogheda. Is that where the hospital was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's where the Lourdes was. It was nicknamed the village.
So you're all from Louds. Anyone from Navan's that actually from me.
Your father would come in, your mother would be pregnant, and your father would come into the sitting room and he says, I'm taking your mother for a drive. And he'd come back and he'd have a brother.
And we'd say, we'd be in glued to the telly watching the Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
And we'd say, where were yous? We're over in Drogheda.
You have a brother.
Yeah. Where were we? We were a daunt in Drogheda. Over a daunt. A doubt, a daunt, a din. We were a Dover.
A Dover.
So it was about 20 minutes into Slane and out by the little cottage and out by the river and you were in Drogheda. So I was born on 17th of August, 1969. And this is all about what happened when I was, the moment I was born. I hit a complication and I had to have a full blood transfusion about 10 minutes after I was born because I rejected my blood. I don't know if it's called a recess baby or whatever it is, but they took all the blood out of me.
What?
And put another bit of blood into me. And my mother said it was touch and go for the first hour. And that was like, so I had a full blood transfusion. I think it's called a recess baby.
Vector.
But now Vector. I've got that blood that nobody else has.
Whose blood was it?
Yeah.
A guy called, I never found out who gave me his blood, but I had a full blood transfusion in the hour after I was born.
Wow.
On the 17th of August.
So you would have had that blood inside you when you were in the womb.
Yes.
But when you came out into the world.
Yes, Tommy.
You just said, I'm not having this blood no more.
I said, I have enough of it.
Enough of this blood.
I rejected it.
I want my own. I want different blood.
I said, I want.
Wow.
I had a full blood transfusion.
So what kind of blood do you have now?
I think it's O negative.
Oh yeah.
What I can do? By the way, do you know your blood?
I think it's O positive. I'm not actually sure.
So this is something we need to. Everyone needs to know their blood.
Why do you know your blood?
Because, Sammy, just say, for example, you were going out someday and you just cut yourself and you were losing blood.
Hang on, describe. So I'm. Where, am so I?
You're well, in the car. Well, he won't be doing any work in the garden.
Tommy's
anyway.
Out running up a bog road at the back of Barna.
Okay,
right.
And he's near a gully and it's a drain, but then it's a bit of black ice and he's jogging.
Yes.
He slips.
Yes.
He crashes down and smashes his elbow.
Right.
And then he falls halfway into a ditch where he snares himself on a bit of a hawthorn bush that's protruding that was cut back by the farmer last year. So it spikes right through his limb and he's now impaled.
Yes.
You're losing blood. You need to know your blood.
Yeah.
What
so
are you
what
talking?
Are you doing?
Well, I only need to know my blood if someone comes and gets me.
How long has he got?
I don't know what type of blood I have.
Find out for next week, but tell me the day you were
born. How will we find out?
17th of August, 69. I was born in the village in Drogheda. And it was lovely to go back to Drogheda.
You were born in a village?
That's the nickname on the hospital.
Oh, right.
Where Navan people were born.
Yeah.
All Navan people didn't want to be born in Navan. We didn't have the facilities, so we went to Loud.
Yeah.
And by the way,
you couldn't. That's when you drive into Navan, do you know what, some towns have a message underneath them?
Welcome
to Navan. You can't be born here.
Yeah. We took out the twin. No, we can't be born here.
Can't be born here.
No twins.
But everybody from Navan dies in Navan. Do you know the way elephants, when they get unwell, they'd fuck off into the wilderness to die? No matter where in the world you are, if a Navan person starts feeling unwell, they will even if it's at night when they're asleep, they will make their own way back to Navan.
To Navan.
The town, every day, there's five or six people wandering just in from Trim and Kells Road and the Dublin Road from all over the world to die. And they go up to the Fair Green and they just fucking die.
And they're herding around each other.
They just fucking die. Everyone from Navan dies in Navan.
And everyone from Navan is born in Drogheda.
That's right.
So tell us about the morning and the day. What time were you born? I think it was born in the afternoon.
Well, didn't Tommy, you revisited that, your birth a lot, didn't you?
No, I did. Well, I didn't really. I just, that was a wild imagination trip.
You saw, that you didn't want to come out, but you did.
This woman told me I didn't want to be born. I was born, so we were living in Kiarn, Kiarndunna, up near Malin Head, up near the fucking, up in the Scottish Highlands of Donegal. So, and I was born in Letterkenny. Born in Letterkenny Regional Hospital and then taken back to Cairn. Now, Cairn is about 4 or 5 miles from Malin Head. It's right at the top of the country. It is a beautiful, small... That part of the country is fucking far
away. Is that where the airport
away.
Is up there?
Oh,
no, that's Farn Four. Kerry, is it? No, there's another one.
There's Donegal Airport. Yeah, Donegal Airport.
I thought it was up near there. Sorry, go on.
You're up past Gweedore, are you?
Oh, no, Gweedore is the other side. Gweedore is the left. It's kind of... If you're at Letterkenny, is at... It's at... Letterkenny is at... It's at a fucking fork in the island.
Yeah.
And you go right, you go left then for, is it Ballybuffet? Not Ballybuffet, but Ballybuffet and all those, and Gweedore and Glenties and all them. But you go right up to the top.
I wouldn't know that now.
But it's a beautiful part of it. I was born there, so in 1969.
What day?
The 16th of June, 1969. And my father says, "You come out, Tom." And I went, my father would have been about 26 or 27, and he said, "You come out," and I held you, and I went for a pint. And there was a tradition back then of after the woman, everyone has a different role to play in a birth, Rita, okay? So it's the woman's job
to... Hit me up here.
The woman's job is to have the baby.
Yes.
Just fucking to get bet with pain and sweat and fucking nurses. And back then it was different. A nurse
There was no anaesthetics.
No anaesthetics. A nurse would get you into a headlock. A big country nurse, she'd get you into a headlock and she'd cut off the fucking oxygen supply to your brain so you'd forget that it was sore.
And the midwife would give you dead arms.
Yeah, she'd fucking punch you. So women would be crying with pain and a nurse would punch you in the face. Come on, you're having a baby. And
so, snap out of it.
You're probably fucking moaning the whole time. So that was a woman's jog back then. Like,
right, yeah.
Do you remember chicken? What was those? The make a wish?
Chickadees.
No, do you remember the little bones?
Chicken,
in
your wishbones.
Wishbones. Yeah. Basically, you know.
Where is this going?
The lad, two lads again, one wishbone each
side. There wouldn't be lads. They were two heavy country nurses. And if the woman was in pain.
One big push now, Marie.
They'd snap our pelvis like a fucking wishbone on a chicken.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
And the baby would fucking fly out.
Sloosh. Like the river vine. Sloosh. A gush of a baby. Yeah.
Loads of babies.
Such a picturesque way of describing it.
Right, next.
Did she be sweating and she'd be in fucking rag order? I wouldn't be looking her best. Anyway.
Any more pig? Shut up. Slap.
Go home
and
now.
Pig, you know, and you get a heel to the jaw, so you would. She get a fucking heel in the jaw.
I'm not sure what's funnier, the actions or the description here.
But a man's job then was... Yeah.
The man had a job.
To sit outside with a face cloth.
A face cloth?
No, yeah, no. To put it on our forehead.
No, he wouldn't be allowed in.
Then.
He wouldn't be
allowed in. Man be outside reading the Irish press.
Yeah. And
he then, wouldn't even be there, like.
And then, the evening press, Conor, then. Smoking a fag.
Cork are in good shape this year. Oh, they are. Oh, you can
scream from inside. Did he read the Irish press?
What a
fag. Fucking midwife bathing the woman with the plank in the small of her back.
Shut the fuck up. Stop.
She'd be crippled. She wouldn't be able to walk. She'd be after having the baby. She'd be on the floor in the hospital. Fuck off.
He's outside saying, where's the nearest pub? And pint of the porter.
And when the baby came out then, the one of the head of the IRA will come out then. another little volunteer.
No, he'd be outside in the poker machine. Fire girl.
And then what you do is
pain in my face.
The man would go for a pint.
Right.
And in the late 60s, that was the tradition.
And has that changed?
It's changed
now because the pubs are closed. But
I wetting the baby's head, it was called traditionally back then.
And you'd go down to. So I was born, and my father said, I went in and I held you.
I gave you a bag.
And then he went for a pint.
I handed you back, and then I said, time for pints.
Tommy, was it a C-section or was it normal?
I don't know.
Did you come into the world quickly? Was there caliper used?
Jeez, I have no idea.
Now,
I've been at a few births in the meantime, but no, my own one now. I couldn't tell you, Hector.
There must have been a lot of joy when you came into the world because you've brought. I really firmly believe the way we enter the world is very important. The journey. Some people say that when there's a lot of force used and calipers and the way the baby is breached and is turned and then there's all these sort of suction pipes used to take out the baby.
Suction pipes.
No, that can represent a bit of trauma, early trauma, and I think I'm not sure. Well, obviously I had the transfusion. I think I just...
That's an amazing thing. A transfusion.
Mm.
Full blood transfusion.
Yeah, my mother told me about it and couldn't believe it. So,
I can't remember my birth, obviously, because, I mean, I don't have any recollection.
No.
Where? With the hospital and what
Castlebar
day?
Hospital. I think I was born in Castlebar. Yeah, I was. On the 28th of September, 1983.
Fuck off. Jesus 1983.
Christ.
Ready for the fucking intercert 1983.
We were on active duty.
I arrived on the scene and I have no recollection of it. I know that my father, I don't think, he probably came up that evening or something.
He was probably bailing, was he, or cutting probably, silage?
Around that time, probably not. But I have more, like, I have been, I delivered a lot of animals, not humans, but I've, you know, that side of bringing life to earth is brilliant.
So lambs,
calves.
Wow. Can you describe that? Those moments?
Lambs are the best ones because sheep are easy handled. So you know cows are a bit harder, and you need a jack, and you need generally and all that.
What's a jack?
It's a thing that you use to take the calf out. You put little ropes on his legs.
Okay.
And then it's like a kind of screw, not a screw, but you like.
You use
these handles and then it kind of helps with the delivery.
And so if you weren't...
Cow's hips are a bit tight.
You weren't there, what would happen to the...
Like some of them will calf themselves and then others...
Yeah, you're just aiding, you're helping the cow, you're helping
Well, you'd
the
know
cow.
The cow was due to calf, so then you'd have to...
But in terms of evolution, have cows not evolved to a state where they can have their own calves. Their human
I think
health.
They've probably changed in one way. Obviously, cows years ago were impregnated by a bull. You know, now it's artificial insemination.
Okay. And
you can choose what kind of a cow, bull you want to fertilize your calf.
And,
your
cow with. And what are the options?
Well, you can have all different. You can get a catalogue.
And
you can get a catalogue of like bulls.
And so are you, are you talking in terms of colour or size?
Yeah,
or?
Size and pedigree and breeding and.
And are the different squirts different prices?
Yeah. But I don't know how much they are. They're called straws.
Straws. Yeah,
yeah, and they're in like nitrogen, I think. And then it's like a science project when the AI man comes, he takes the top off the back and there's all this steam coming up.
Yeah. And would he put the straw on his head, like coming out of like a unicorn and go up to the cows?
And just go.
The back of what I'm fucking. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. In your pop.
He'd always have that plastic right up, right up to the shoulder and he'd be like this at a right angle.
Straight in. And drop it off.
How do they get the sperm out of the bulls?
I don't know that.
You must know that.
I don't actually.
You do know that. Come on, you're a farming person. How
Would you have been sent down, go on, get us a gallon of
sperm from the bull? No, I don't know
how do they? Does the bull ride a machine or does someone work them? Or?
There's a clinic a bull goes to, isn't there? There's a clinic a bull can go and he can go and sit in the waiting room and then he goes in and then he
gets a magazine of lovely pretty heifers and cows, young cows. And
you really have no idea how they get the sperm out of the bull?
No, I don't.
You never asked how do they get that?
No, but I will ask.
He must ride a plastic cow with a kind of
Someone goes up and...
What? And wanks him?
Yeah.
What?
Puts it into a jug then and then sucks it up into the straw and goes.
But it has to stay alive. You can't... Once it hits the fresh air, it'll die.
Yeah, but... Well, I don't know how. Or they must stick the tube up his penis, do they? And suck it out.
Look,
like when you're sucking diesel out of a fucking lawnmower engine.
Yeah. Well, they do that, I'd say.
In the horsey world, when a mare would go in season, they would bring in the fluffer. And in every stallion yard or a breeding yard, if there was mares, they would have an old jinnet or an old donkey, an old
horse. Teaser.
A teaser who'd be really horny all the time. Normally you call him Elvis or something. And he'd come in and he'd be sniffing around and he'd go, he'd be in around at the mares and the mares would be rubbing up and he'd be going outside trying to get up the door.
He wouldn't fit like a little
ginny trying to get over, get at them and get back. So they'd know the mare was in season. So that was the way then. And then you obviously bring to stallion. Now, I've seen a stallion.
But that's different.
I saw a young
like
stallion coming
in. With a heifer,
a young stallion coming in one day and he up on 2 feet and he was spurting all over the place, premature ejaculation. And your man goes, he's only a young stallion. He doesn't know the job yet. Your man was
It was like
the fire brigade putting out stuff with foam. It was flying everywhere. And I says, your man, he goes, stallions can ejaculate prematurely. But then I saw an older stallion. He's about 18.
Oh, he was as cute as a fox.
I was over in Coolmore in Coolmore, America, which was in Kentucky. And it was beautiful, mahogany stables and gold-plated doors and everything. El Grant Stravinsky was the 2-year-old, the 4 or 5-year-old I saw coming in. He was champion 2-year-old. He was all over the place. He was like a young 17-year-old. Come on! Come on!
And bring her in, bring
come
her
on,
in.
Come on, here we go! He couldn't get away to get up and they would help him up and put a little fluffer, little thing here, a barrier
dress
here.
On him.
He'd have the aftershave on. Next minute, dun, 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 dun. In comes El Grand Senior. 19 years of age, stallion, and he walks in and he's all muscle and he just...
The poor woman, she's...
She's backed in.
She's a hot mess.
All cleaned down and ready to go and then they're backing her up and in comes El Gran Senior and he's going, here we go. How many more of these today, lads? How many more of these today? And you go, you've got two. Fuck it, here we go. And he just went, whoop! And then another lad helped his leg up. And he just went, yes.
Gone.
Beautiful. Wow. But he was at it for a long time. So that's what I know about that world. The world of the bull, that's incredible.
Do they artificially inseminate mares now, I wonder? Is that always brought to the stallion for a full, fresh load to be dropped?
I think the horse bloodline is always going back to Northern Dancer and the bloodline of horses always goes back to horses in Saudi
Arabia.
I'll have
to investigate that now, how you get the semen into the straw.
Now, I would just, as we finish off this little section here, Louisa, I just think you came up with one of the most beautiful phrases I've ever heard. I hope it's a phrase that becomes popular all over Ireland when women are trying to describe themselves. And you were talking about the mayor when the big stallion, the big old stallion came in. And you said, and the mayor says to herself, Jesus, I'm a hot mess.
Thank you, everybody, who are enjoying the podcast wherever you're listening. Click and subscribe and download. And thanks, that we are so delighted that you're happy sharing the laughter with us.
And we've also noticed as well that not only are we starting to reach Irish people abroad, but now
other nationalities,
the indigenous members of those communities are also saying that they really enjoy. So we'd like to say hello to all our English, Australian,
Italian,
Native American, Native Canadian,
Panamanian.
Americans, listeners, yeah. And we Excellent. Hope you get our delight is ye getting a laugh and other stuff listening to the show. So thank you so much and good luck. This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.